definition in the Anglo-Saxon, or the word worry, the meaning that came originally from a word which meant to strangle. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, that worry can just strangle your joy, strangle your peace. We were talking last week about what it is like to live and rejoice always. And yet, frequently, that's not our lifestyle, is it? You know, I got to tell you once again today, I'm talking about something that I am still very much in the process of learning. But it is so important for us to grasp this, because we are in a culture that is more anxious than any culture that we've ever had. You know that in the United States, there are 19 million Americans with anxiety disorders that are adults, and 13 million children. So we're 30 million people who are not functioning in a healthy way when it comes to how they process their emotion. And so we need to think about this. Someone has once said that worry is the interest we pay on the troubles that we borrow. You know, it's something that we're not handling life the way God intends for us to handle it. But he provides us a principle. And so as I talk to you today, I'm just going to be sharing some of my heart, some of what the Word says, and how I've been learning to take those circumstances of life which seem to naturally stir you towards anxiety, and then translate that into peace. Because the Bible says you can replace your anxiety with peace. And that's what I want to talk about. So turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. If you're not there yet, we'll continue in this book. We've got just a few more weeks left. Coming up, we'll be looking at experiencing His power. And then also the week after that, Lord willing, experiencing His provision. A couple of key things for us to understand. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And the God of peace will be with you. The things that you have learned, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. In fact, I skipped it just kind of the way we tend to have it. If I just do this, I'll get this. And yet God has a process for us to go to. And so I want us to kind of walk through this process together. Because you think about it, we say, well, why do we worry? I thought a lot about that this week because I have done a lot of it. And I came up with something very complex and very profound. We worry because we choose to. Go ahead, own that. Tell the person next to you that. We worry because we choose to. Tell them. All right? See, we want to say it's outside our control. And if it's outside your control, then you're stuck. You're just a worry wart. You're just a person who's caught in that place. But if you have the potential to change the circumstances that you are in, you'll change them. But if you can't change how you respond to the circumstances, then you feel trapped. But God says you can change how you respond. You can make choices of how you respond to the circumstances that you're in. And so, first thing he says here is be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How do we get to peace? Well, God gives peace to those who will refuse to worry about anything, but pray thankfully about everything. There has to be a choice of how I am going to respond to my life. It's your choice. It's your life. No one else can make that choice for you, but you can choose to respond to worry, or you can choose to reject worry, all right? When we see something coming, you know, why do we worry besides how we choose to? When we see something coming, we anticipate pain, all right? Because you've lived. Experience is a good teacher. It is, but it will teach you good things and it will teach you bad things. And so we will be afraid of things that God doesn't intend for us to be afraid of because, well, you know, the last time I talked to that person, so I'm just going to avoid that person this time, right? You know, we choose to walk away from situations where we're going to experience pain. Anxiety is that looking at the future and saying, it is going to hurt. And I don't want to hurt. And so then I start worrying about it. I can get tense. And the pain can be physical. It can be emotional. It can be relational. And I believe it can also be spiritual. That as you go through life, these things can begin to come up on you. And it'll show up if you don't process your pain well. You may get a little tick. You know, you may have obsessive compulsive behaviors, things that you just have to do or you don't feel good. Or it may be those anxiety attacks or a phobia that you develop. It's a way of saying I am not okay. But what the Bible says is you are to refuse to let anxiety live in your life. Refuse it. It's a choice. I think it was Martin Luther who says, you cannot prevent birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. You know, there's things that are going to happen in life. There are circumstances that come. It's your response to the circumstances in the situation that God is talking about. Jesus knew his disciples were going to face a very critical test of their faith. It was going to be the greatest possible event in history, and yet it was going to look like the worst. And so shortly before he died, he told them something in John 14, verse 1. What was this? Read it with me. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He says the condition of your heart is your responsibility. Don't let it be troubled. You can take that on. He says refuse to let anxiety live in your house. Now I'm going to try and work on a little bit of a drawing here for you today to show you how this, I have seen this work in people's lives and situations, because circumstances come in life. We're going to picture your life as just kind of like this hill here. And circumstances come along, and as they do, sometimes they are not what we would want. We don't want storms in our life, isn't that right? We always want to try and avoid storms, but as they come into our life, they drip problems on us. You know what I'm talking about? Can anybody say amen to that? You know, you get some problems dripping on you, okay? And you say, hey, this is creating a problem. It's getting muddy down here, right? If circumstances, you're in it for a while, all of a sudden it gets muddy. You know, when it first starts, it's like, oh, this isn't too bad. I think I can handle this. And then it begins getting worse, and you think, okay, I think it's going to stop pretty soon. And it just pours. And you come into circumstances and situations where it will just pour down in your life, and as it does, what happens down here? It begins to run together, right? And all of a sudden, running down the hill of your life, there will begin to be a pattern of thought. There'll begin to be a pattern of thinking, and it will be about the negative circumstances that you're in. And if you don't take control of that, it's gonna cut a ravine into your life. It's going to do damage to you. All right? And so he says here, he says, do not be anxious about anything. And so what does he say? He says, hey, stop that. All right? And you've all done this, right? Just don't worry. Just don't worry about it. Not going to think about it. Nope, I'm not, right? We just try to stop it. Okay? But the problem is, what? The circumstances don't change. It continues to rain. What happens? It starts to fill up, doesn't it? It'll start to puddle in your life. And so the thoughts running through your life begin to create this canyon. You try to stop it, and all of a sudden it just builds up, and you know what's coming. You can feel it. It's going to break out, and it's going to be worse than it was before. If you don't deal with the circumstances in your life in a manner that God directs you to, it'll devastate you. Circumstances don't devastate. It's how you deal with them. And so he says, do not be anxious about anything. He says, learn to process. Don't let your heart be able to recognize what's going on. You know, when you're driving a car, if you're paying attention, you can recognize all of a sudden, you can see the heat gauge come up sometimes, right? And say, oh, I need to watch this. I need to take care of something. Or the oil light comes on. It's a warning sign. And inside of us, emotionally, we can feel things. You know, before you get the splitting migraine, right? Oftentimes, many people have learned that there are symptoms that I'm becoming tense. There are symptoms that I'm not feeling so good. All right? So before you're chugging a bottle of Mylanta, you know, you say, hey, what's going on inside? What am I anxious about? Be able to identify that. And he says, okay, don't be worrying about that. But what does he say? Do not be anxious about anything, but what? Pray. Okay? What God says is we need to be those who would pray. All right? And what's pray do? Praying directs your thoughts a different direction. You're going to take control of your thoughts instead of them letting them just run down the mountainside and just go wherever they go. When you begin to pray, you say, and I'm going to turn my thoughts in a particular direction. I'm going to cause them to go in a particular place. And so I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But this idea here is that we would come to a place where you would not let anxiety just do whatever it wants to do with your life. That you would then say, anxiety, fear, worry is an invitation, friends. It is not an invitation to an ulcer, okay? That's what happens if you don't deal with it. It is an invitation to relationship with the living God. Yeah, every time a problem comes into your life, it's an invitation to say, okay, God, what you up to? What are you doing now? And it's an invitation to become a person of prayer. And so he says, be anxious for nothing, but in most of the things of life, pray. Is that what your Bible say? Ain't in there, is it? But in everything, pray. So we're to refuse to let anxiety live in our life, but what we're supposed to do? Pray specifically and thankfully about everything. Pray specifically and thankfully about everything. See, you can pray a rote prayer, right? You can just say a few words. But he says here, very particularly, when he says, in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, by splitting those two terms up, he's saying, I've got a depth to help you understand here. The word prayer is a word coming from the idea of the adoration and communion that God wants us to have with him. He says, I want you to be living and enjoying me, having this conversation with me. And then he says, supplication. Some of your translations may have petition, right? And he says, make a particular, specific request of God. I would like to see this. Now, in many, many places of the scriptures, we're told, you know, ask for what God wants to accomplish. Be looking for God's purpose in your life. And so we're to be praying specifically. So when I say here, you know, be anxious for nothing, it is not this idea of just don't worry, be happy, right? You know, I mean, it's a clever song, but the be happy comes from a process of being able to see the God who is there. In any and every circumstance of life, God has one response always for you. What is it? Pray. It's pray. Is it what? It's come into a deeper relationship with me. See, this is not about, oh, okay, I have to say my prayers. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where I've got to do this one. I got to do this one. I've been a part of some brothers with liturgy, and I was really surprised that I really hadn't been around that circle much. Not really into high church. And we were getting ready to do an event, and he goes, oh, I got a prayer for that in my book. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, no, we got a prayer about this in my book. And I thought, you got to have a book to pray? He says, no. But the funny thing I found out is that in these written prayers, sometimes it took him farther than you might go on your own. You know, because somebody wrote some stuff out that was serious and went in depth. But, you know, but you could just do it as a written prayer. Oh, the prayer for the morning service is, I'll read it. The prayer for this, you could be wrote, or you can be meaningful. It's your heart response to God in any situation that determines whether there's going to be a change in your relationship. So, it says, in everything. How do you do that? Well, you just begin starting to talk to God about your troubles, and you'll begin covering most of the stuff, right? Talk to God about your troubles. And when do you do that? If your perspective is that, you know, well, I prayed in the morning, and then I pray in the evening. I'm here to say hallelujah. That's great. But I have found for this feeble saint, that is not enough praying to get the job done. All right? And sometimes my showers will get longer, you know, because I'm working on some stuff in there. All right? Okay. Okay, Lord. All right. But in any and every circumstance, you can be praying. Still remember, we were leaving Nevada, moving to the glorious Grants Pass about 20 years ago. And I was behind the wheel of a 28-foot truck. And my son had never seen me even drive a truck like that before. And as we're driving down the road, I says, oh, you know, we ought to pray. He goes, right now? I says, right now. And you see this look on his face. You know, his eyes are about like this, you know. I says, I'm going to pray with my eyes open. You can close yours. He says, I think I'll leave them open too. You know, just to make sure Dad's going to keep it on the road. All right. Have you found you need to pray when you're driving? Oh, yeah, yeah. And this whole thing, by the way, you know, the car is not a phone booth. I really think that's crazy, you know. But the idea is be talking to God about your life. We so fill our lives up with busyness and noise and activity that we have no time for the one who gave us life. I think we're missing out. We're missing out. And so I just want to encourage you, there is no time that you can't get hold of God. Isn't that frustrating? You're trying to get hold of somebody. You've called them. You've tried their regular phone, their landline. You've tried their cell phone. You've faxed them. They're not responding. Isn't it great to know at any time you can come to God? So with prayer and supplication, come to God. Why? Because he cares about you. It says that in 1 Peter 5:7. Read it with me. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's interesting. He doesn't say if you happen to get any anxiety, you might throw it up there. He said you have anxiety. And this is the Apostle Peter speaking here. He says cast your care because he cares. Here's the thing that somebody said. I think it was Oswald Chambers. He says, when we worry, we live as though our God does not care and will not help. That's blasphemy, isn't it? My God's going to take care of me. He always has. He's never done it the way I expected. right? Yeah. You know, you're in the middle of those situations. He never does it the way you're going to expect, but he will come through for you. So he says, turn it over to me. Turn it over to me. And notice what he says happens. He says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, God gives peace to those who trust him. When he says, don't just pray about it, he says, pray with thanksgiving. Now, I have found there is a great difference between my praying and my praying with thanksgiving. You know what I'm talking about? Because when I pray with thanksgiving, I've had to come to a perspective where I say, God, I am going to thank you for this situation. I'm going to thank you for how you're working. And I'm moving into a place of trust. There's other times I can pray and just go, God, please, 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 please. Okay, am I at peace yet? No, I'm anxious, and all I'm doing, I'm calling on God. There's nothing wrong with that. Just move over to being able to say, God, I know you're here. Do you remember the disciples going across the lake? Jesus was having a good time, sound asleep in the back of the boat. All right. And what'd they say? Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? Isn't that the attitude sometimes we have when we come to God? Hey, come on, God. We need to understand that God knows. When he says, let your requests be made known to God, I think that's interesting the way that those words are phrased, because we tend to think of it, yeah, you need to keep God informed. You know, I'm here to tell you, God already knows. What he's talking about is, let your burdens go. Let your requests go. He says, would you make those things that are on your heart known to God? Will you begin letting go of stuff? Because see, we think God needs to be informed. He doesn't need to be informed. Prayer is not about me informing God. It's about me seeing God. When I pray, I begin to see God for who he is. When I pray, I begin to get a different perspective. God's already there. And he's already ready to work. And when I begin to give thanks, it says he will guard your heart and your mind. I'm here to tell you, the idea of having God as my bodyguard sounds pretty good to me. Pretty good. He says he's going to guard your heart and mind. When? When you begin thanking him. When you begin saying, I trust you. Because if I'm saying, I don't trust you, he can't protect you if you don't trust him. He's the source of protection. And so there's a verse in Isaiah that's been so good to me. I've always appreciated it. It said, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. True? It's true. So trust in him forever. He says, he'll give you the perfect peace. All right? So you can replace anxiety with peace. How? Not just by praying, but by trusting God as you're praying. You know, sometimes I think people think it's just a formula. It's just a magic rote. I say this prayer. No, it's about turning your life over and saying, I'm going to let it go with you. All right. And then he says, there's something else. Because if you want to stay in that place of peace, you know what I'm talking about? You can get with God and you work it through. You know what I'm talking about? You work it through, and then, all right, you start to relax, and you're okay. But then you get up off your knees, right? And you're going right by it. You put it on that shelf with God, and you're going right by it. It's pretty easy just to reach back out and pick it up. Okay, God, I'll just take care of this. Thanks for talking. Now, you're supposed to leave it there. Notice how he says how we can do that. Look at verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Now here's how you stay in a place of peace. He says you need to take control of your mind. You bring your problems to God through faith, and you leave them there. He says, and then you direct your mind in a specific way. You see, the God of peace is with those who think biblical thoughts and take practical steps. It's not just you have a prayer time in your closet. If you're going to experience God's peace, you have to be walking with him. Remember, Jesus invited his disciples to what? Follow me. Walk it out with me. Sometimes we can get an attitude about life. And in fact, it's kind of funny because I think in our culture today, amongst the younger people, man, it's a bummer not be there anymore. But no, but it's nice that some of you make me feel like I still am. But they'll say what? They'll have a response to life. And what is it? Whatever. Isn't that right? Whatever. I cured my boys of saying that in my house with this verse. Because they would say whatever, and I'd say is true. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is true. Try that on them. It's a great response to that attitude. Because oftentimes that's what we've got is an attitude towards God. And it's kind of like, I need to be thinking about what's true. I need to be moving my mind in a different direction. And so when I talk about this idea of biblical, these six characteristics, truth, honor, loveliness, good repute, all these things, what's right, what's pure, all those things, that comes from a biblical perspective. To have a biblical worldview, that I'm going to look at this life I'm going through, and while I may not be appreciating the way certain elected officials are making choices right now, I don't. I've got a worldview that says they are employees of the King of Heaven. And he will let them waste his resources. He will let them to a point in time, but my King rules from heaven. Amen? And so that's a worldview. You have to think on what's true, or this current direction of life could make you very, very anxious. Is that right? And so you control your mind by continually directing what you think about. Back over here to our drawing. It's an interesting thing. As circumstances give you experience, life flows, life's happening, all right? What the Bible says is, to be very appropriate with Southern Oregon, build a canal, build a channel, build a specific focus of where your life is going. Don't just let it go anywhere. He says, think on what's true and what's lovely and what's right and what's good. He says, make your thoughts go in a particular direction. That's what will allow you to do that. And the word I came up with for here is ponder. You know, God says first thing to do is to start your life out of anxiety is to pray. The second thing is you need to be pondering what is true, pondering what is right, pondering, thinking through these things, getting a grip on that. He says, look at the end of that verse. He says, dwell on these things. Live there. Remain there. Reckon these things to be true is literally what it means. He says, reckon these things. He says, see life this way. Rent a room to truth, friends, and refuse to be the landlord of anxiety. Okay? Just don't let him have a room. Don't let him have a spot in your life. If you know what I'm talking about, most of us got a spot where he pretty much has messed up the room. There's a portion of your house where your life is anxious. In that place, he says, turn it back over to God, evict anxiety, and move truth in, move purity in, move righteousness in. The Bible says we need to be taking control of our minds because that's what leads to transformed living. Romans 12:2 says this. Read it with me. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't be conformed, be transformed. How? Renew your mind. Take control of your thoughts. We have to break the hold of deception in our lives. You've had experiences, some of them extremely painful, and you developed a perspective off of that, all right? I can't go all the way into this today, but let me just throw this out here, and some of you can chase it out on your own. And from that place, you developed a deception. Because you didn't develop your perception of that experience based on the Word of God. You developed it based on your feelings. And in 2 Corinthians 10, he says, we are to be destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. You have an experience and you say, well, I am just never going to trust people again. Okay? Is that a biblical conclusion? No. I will never forgive them. Is that a biblical conclusion? No. But we can come to that spot based on pain. But we have to renew our mind to the truth and direct it. Allow it to become a focal point. And then notice what happens next. He says here, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Practice. Practice truth you know, and you will experience the God of peace. If you walk God's way, you know what you'll find out? God is walking with you. And if God seems far away, guess who moved? See, God's not withdrawing from you. Who went looking for Adam and Eve in the garden? Is Adam and Eve looking for God? No, they were running the other way. It was God who came saying, hey, where are you? Did God not know where they were? Remember, when God's asking questions, he's not looking for information. He's trying to relay information. And so he says here, he says, hey, you need to practice these things. When we take a narrower focus of life and we begin to direct the channel of our life, something amazing happens in life, all right? Now, this is where the artwork really starts to break down. Sorry, guys. All right, but you can imagine with me that this is a wonderful water wheel, right? All right? The water would not turn this wheel unless it's channeled. The power supply of life comes by having channeled, focused thoughts, and the energy of your life is going in a particular way. You practice what God wants you to practice. You step forward. And out of this will then come circumstances where God empowers your life, all right? He empowers your life because the energy flows from walking the way he wants you to walk, from walking in the Spirit and letting that focus come into your life in a way that God wants to work. And then the water flows down and waters the fields. This whole valley is green because of irrigation, isn't that right? A good deal of that comes, you know, the river being channeled in a particular way. Jesus said, follow me. That is so different than what I hear a lot of people talking about with Jesus. It's just believe that Jesus, these facts about Jesus. That's not really what Jesus asked. When you read Jesus saying, he didn't just say, believe these facts. He says, direct your life after me. Continually, follow me. Become very specific and focused in your life. It does mean I have to believe that Jesus Christ was God's Son. It does mean I have to believe that Jesus Christ loves me, that he died on the cross for me, that he rose again from the dead. But it's not just believing that, it's what you do with that. It's the practice, it's the stepping forward that you take it someplace. You see, you can start a car and you can begin to drive. And one of the shocking things, I don't know if you remember this, when you first started driving, do you remember this feeling? It seems so easy for those other people when you watch them driving, and all of a sudden when you're driving, it's like, man, you got to keep moving this thing all the time, right? There's a lot of practice. There's a lot of continual adjustments that you have to keep making in your life to stay on the path that God has for you. He says, the things you've learned, that you've received, that you've heard, that you've seen in me, practice this. He says, follow the example of other believers. That's this whole discipleship principle about being in a small group. There's other people living out life around you, giving you an example to encourage you to go forward. Psalms 119 is one of my favorite psalms. And the 165th verse of that chapter says, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. The only way I move out of anxiety into peace is letting God's word give me direction, letting God's word give me a focus. And as we do, then moment by moment, you can be experiencing life with him as you walk it out. If you take your cares, turn them into prayers, turn your prayers into praise, God will give you peace. I've had to do it several times this morning. This is not, I did it once, it'll last all day. No, this is about walking with Jesus all the way through the day. And when you feel that anxiety pop up inside of you, Lord, and move on into thankfulness, then move on into what does he want me to do? In every situation you're in, God has a response for you. We're anxious about something and we tend to withdraw. God says, no, I want you to step forward to be a loving person. There's always that step of obedience that he's calling from us. Someone put it this way quite well. If there's no Jesus in your life, there'll be no peace in your life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is our peace. And everyone who believes on him receives peace. And so if you receive Jesus Christ and you know Jesus, you know what else happens? Then you will know peace. Isn't that right? God's got a plan for you to experience his peace. His name is Jesus Christ. And it's in relationship with him that you experience the peace of God. If you've never put your faith in Christ, today I'm going to invite you to turn your life over and say, Jesus, I believe you love me. I believe you died for me. I'm turning my life over to you. I need that. The Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. But God can turn you into a righteous person. He can wash that sin away if you'll turn your life over to him. And for the believer, he doesn't say just do that once. We just keep walking it out. That's his intention for you, that you continue to turn your life over to him. If something's been eating you up this morning, right now this morning as we close in prayer, I want you to talk to God about that. So let's pray right now. So if we follow what this verse says, right now I'm going to ask you to make your request known to God. Tell him what it is that you've been anxious about, what it is you've been fearful about. Now tell him thank you that you're at work and that you're good and that I can trust you. Now ask him to direct you what action he wants you to take. Father, I thank you that you have a plan for us to experience your peace. And I just ask that I would continue to grow, and my brothers and sisters, we continue to grow in our relationship with you and let you be our peace. Help us to be reminded of this continually this next week. Father, we just thank you that you are at work for good. You're always good. You're always doing that which would cause us to conform to Jesus Christ. May we follow him with everything. In Jesus' name, amen.